Hey guys, thank y'all for being here today and for joining us again. It's Jason Jones and John Wagner, and we're here to really discuss and go over our current community resources again as we cover on a regular routine basis. We're privileged today to have Dr. Barber from the Alabama Orthopedic Clinic that's here today, and we're going to get to hear a little bit about him and learn some about his background and what brought him here. So, Dr. Barber, thank you for being here today with us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
We are real excited about you being in the studios and be able to really just get to know our client base and find out a little bit about who we are and for us to really learn about you and learn about the opportunities you have to be able to serve all the people that watch us and are that tune in and to just have a group that can meet with you. So I would like to start with kind of an idea of just you telling us a little bit about yourself and about you know, living here and kind of how you got into orthopedic surgery.
Sure. I'm a Mobile native from Mobile, Alabama. So the Gulf Coast has been home forever, really. Okay. And went to medical school here, trained in orthopedic surgery here as well. Had the chance to really interact with some great people along the way. Ended up doing a fellowship in joint replacement in Phoenix for a year and then returned home to practice, I guess, about 11 years ago now. So I've been here and actively doing what I do back in my hometown for a while and enjoying it.
That has got to be great to be able to practice in your hometown, to be able to work, you know, really where you grew up. And I know you're a South Alabama graduate. I'm a South Alabama graduate and John as well. As a South Alabama graduate, so this is like a big alumni group that we're right here inside the studio.
Full disclosure, I was a South Alabama student. I'm actually a UAB graduate.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No, I am all local, as I say. So I did do undergraduate and medical school here at South Alabama. It's been great, and it's been great to be back home. Obviously, we love it here. My family's here. My wife's family's here. So happy to be here and able to do what I enjoy doing and try to take some of the things that I've had the opportunity to be exposed to in training and bring some of those technologies and some of those things here to Mobile.
You know, you mentioned earlier when we were talking that you know, there's a lot of different variations in the orthopedic world, general orthopedics, sports med, the replacement stuff that you do. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about some of those different genres within the orthopedic medicine field and what led you when you were in medical school decided you wanted to go into orthopedics?
Yeah.
Sure. A lot of great questions packed up in there. So for me, during medical school, kind of had an inkling that I wanted to do something surgical. It ended up being exposed to orthopedics. And within week one, it was like, okay, yeah, this is it. This is what I want to do. Just the ability to do something and affect change and have that immediate gratification of doing a surgery and seeing a bone come back together or seeing a joint be replaced is just amazing. During that time, I had the chance to be exposed to some really world-class surgeons here locally and then in some other places. And that led to the interest in joint replacement. And as you said, orthopedics now very much breaks down by subspecialty. There are some general orthopedists out there still doing some of everything and some folks that have been doing it for a long time and doing that and are really great at it. But specialization and subspecialization is where things have progressed over time. So in orthopedics, there's what I do, joint replacement, which typically means hip and knee. Sports medicine docs that do a lot of ligament reconstructions, arthroscopic surgery, hand surgeons that do hand, wrist, elbow fractures, tendon repairs, things like that. Foot and ankle specialist, spine specialist, and then as you get into some more academic environments, you'll have orthopedic oncologist, pediatric orthopedist that often are at teaching institutions, but may be in some community practices as well. So you get specialization and then subspecialization. I do really 3, 4, 5 surgeries, and I do them over and over all year long. Right. And the intent with that and what we're seeing data on is that surgeons and institutions that do these things in higher volumes, they get better protocols, they get a lot of a lot of reps in, so to speak, mm-hmm. doing these things. And they have better outcomes and lower complication rates because of that. And so we're really trying to improve things as a field and sort of move the ball down the field in terms of what our results are and get better for our patients.
I like that in comparison on with us and we, you know, as an insurance agency, you talk about doing one thing and doing one thing really well. And that's kind of, though I would not compare us with orthopedic surgeons by any means, but that is one thing that I feel like we do really well is we don't cloud ourselves with a tremendous amount of other products and other types of insurance, as though there are many specialties in insurance, whether it's life insurance or it's, you know, cancer insurance or property and casualty insurance or the multitude of different types of insurance as a retirement investment tool and things of that nature. But we try to focus and only stay in the field of seniors and really specialize in the aspect of Medicare and Medicaid and working with those entities to provide the care that people need and understanding how the programs work and how they affect people and understanding the benefits around them. And I think as well, from our standpoint, it makes us better insurance agents as opposed to those that practice many, many different types of fields.
It just lets you understand the nuances of that because you do it over and over and you whatever problems they are, you've seen them before. That's nothing new for you. And so you anticipate them and you head off right. A lot of those things. It's just the improvement that comes with practice and time.
One of the things I love that you said a few minutes ago was talking about the specialties inside of Mobile and you being a native and not taking the opportunity, I guess, of when you finish school of going to practice in Atlanta or in Nashville or, you know, some really, really large city and coming to a Mobile to practice. And many people will you know, they like to go to places like New Orleans, or I need to go to New Orleans for my care, or I need to go to Nashville for my care. And I love the fact that you're pointing out we have very, very, very skilled hands in the medical arts here in locally in Mobile, whether that's, you know, as you're saying in the orthopedic world, but, you know, in the cancer world and just numerous different areas. We've really grown as a community in being able to really provide great professional services.
No doubt. I think you've definitely seen that here locally. And of course, I've got, you know, decades of being here and having seen that progress and seen that evolution. But you see that nationally where care has been scaled out to smaller communities. So for things like what I do, joint replacement surgery of the knee and hip, you're talking about anywhere between 1.2 and 1.4 million of those procedures that are done across the country annually. So there's the chance and really there's the need for these to be able to be done really well at a really elite level everywhere or at least a lot of places. You know, it's not something that really needs to be isolated just to a couple specialty centers across the country. Now, if you get to some really esoteric conditions that there just aren't many of these cases across the country or across the world, then, yeah, those need to get funneled to one place that does that all the time. But you can have elite-level joint replacement care here in Mobile, and not just joint replacement, but a lot of procedures, orthopedic and otherwise, because you've got people that specialize and that do those all the time, and there's a lot of those cases, and they're really good at it.
What is you've been doing this a long time. What does the future look like? I know earlier this morning when we were kind of chatting, we talked about how the joint replacement industry has come so far in such a short amount of time as far as recovery times and those kind of things. But what does the future look like, and what are your thoughts on that?
Always a little bit of educated guesswork to predict the future here. Certainly the present and the immediate future is what you said, which is the shortened recovery times and really the move to outpatient surgery. You know, not just for commercial insurance, but for, as you've said, Medicare and some of the other programs. These are not limited to being inpatient procedures anymore. We're routinely doing joint replacement procedures as an outpatient in the hospital, and now a lot of times as an outpatient in our surgery center. So those are same day procedures. Patients can have these surgeries, go home and recover. So you're going to continue to see that. And then, you know, the future casting sort of things, you're going to continue to see technologies that are used in other industries bridge over and bleed over into what we do. So 3D printing in terms of implants and instruments, the so-called additives manufacturing that you see with that, robotics is going to continue to evolve in that space. You're seeing VR and AR, virtual reality, augmented reality type systems where you're going to have heads-up display sort of things that the surgeon sees in the operating room that are just amazing. I mean, there's just super cool to even think about this stuff. So you're going to see more and more of that evolve and hopefully make things better and better for patients.
Some of the stuff we saw as kids on Star Trek and Star Wars, you know, could be coming into our future here soon, right?
People are out there not just dreaming it. I mean, those are all things that are happening right now. And they're in the early stages, but they're going to develop more and more, and you're going to see those scaled out to be everywhere.
The virtual reality is I enjoy the virtual reality, and I have some goggles that I use for mine that I like whenever they come updated with it. I like to get new things with it. And one of the programs that I have is the human anatomy. So you can actually go in virtually and go through the body. And it's really it's amazing now from my standpoint, from just a novice standpoint. It's amazing to be able to walk through and look at the body and be able to see inside of it as you're going through in a virtual aspect. And
well, 100%. And you think about how that crosses over to medical students to residents that are being trained, right, and especially for something surgical where they can have training. I mean, and it's virtual. It's not the real thing, but a chance to walk through things in that format before going into the operating room.
Right.
Huge as a teaching tool.
Mental reps.
Yeah, absolutely. And to some degree, physical. So you've moved this proprioceptive kinesthetic movement sense into that part of the training. And then the other side of that is going to be an AR, an augmented reality, right, where we're going to put on something and it's not a situation of me looking back and forth to look at an x-ray or to look at a computer monitor of an x-ray or a CT scan or something like that. It's going to project that onto the patient, and I'm almost going to be able to see internally 3D as I do that and have information coming up in real time.
That is really amazing.
That is amazing.
That is technology. That is the use of technology and people that have come up with that are just geniuses and being able to create that and the life saving aspect of that and making lives, you know, longer.
Well, it's something that if you've got this great technology, you can move the needle for a lot of people in a really positive way if you can use it in a healthcare space. Now, it also requires a lot of testing because this is not like other industries, if you will. You know, we're not shooting to be good at this 95% of the time. We essentially have to get it perfect, and there have to be a lot of safety measures involved and a lot of redundancies and backups and things that you don't necessarily see in other industries.
Speaking of safety measures, and I'm glad we can kind of pivot over to this. You know, the majority of our viewers are seniors that we have that and the majority of our clients that we have at our office are all seniors that would watch. From a safety standpoint, you know, hips and knees are your major aspects of what you do. What are some things that people can do to try to prevent, you know, wearing out their knees and you know, potentially keeping from breaking their hips? What are some senior related things that you can think of that should just be aware of?
Well, there's a lot of lifestyle things that just cross over to everything. So in terms of wear and tear on joints, you know, healthy lifestyle, keeping body weight down, being healthy otherwise, all the things that are sort of good for your heart and your lungs and everything else are good for your joints as well. In terms of traumatic things, you know, when we have the more elderly population, we certainly worry about falls that put them at risk for hip fractures and spine fractures, things like that. So that gets into things like just how the house is set up in terms of having grab bars in the bathroom if you need them, small throw rugs and things that are slipping hazards, making sure that electrical cords are tucked away, that there aren't tripping hazards in the home is a big one.
kind of the, I worked in rehab hospitals, and I think I mentioned this earlier, kind of before I moved over into the insurance world, and quite often meeting with the physical therapist and occupational therapist that we're in. And that's the things that they talked about as well, is always trying to make sure that your hazards were kind of put up and in place inside the house so that you didn't have it. And it's great because I have an elderly mother that I had to try to make sure we have all that together and things out. And it seems like every time I go there, she's got another rug on the ground, or she's got another blanket that's just laying, you know, half off the couch and half on. And I see many times when, you know, I get the call in the middle of the day, I need you to come help me get up. I'm on the ground, and, you know, I'm panicking as an adult child and trying to take care of her. So I understand that aspect. The therapist kind of went over that, you know, years ago, and I would see them actually refer to a lot of things. I was very fortunate that when we found a house here for her in Mobile, that it had rails already in it, had ramps already on it. It had a walk-in shower that was just flat going in, even though she's not in a wheelchair by any means. It had, you know, a seat inside the somebody had reconstructed it to be more accessible, which I was very happy that that was the case.
Those are important things, and they're big issues in that patient population, and that's why we do balance evaluations to check people for fall risk, refer to physical therapy a lot of times for things like that, for strengthening, for balance training, things that help prevent that. And Medicare and most insurances cover that simply because the downside of that, you know, are hip fractures and hospital admissions and really bad consequences that are really expensive, if you will, to the system, quote unquote, the healthcare machinery.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of great discussion here, and thank you again so much for taking time today to come speak with us. So if you take your normal patient, as Jason said, our population is almost predominantly Medicare patients. So you mostly the elderly, and you mentioned earlier that a large part of your practice is replacing hips and knees on those that type of patient. What are some things that you could share with the audience that from a post-surgical recovery to help kind of expedite their recovery and get them back to full speed? What are some things that they can be doing at home since they are going home straight after the surgery to try to make sure that recovery process goes quickly?
So the post-surgical recovery starts pre-surgery, you know, and that's probably the important thing to consider, is that everything needs to be optimized medically for them. And we do this and we evaluate these things before we even put a surgery on or talk about doing that. So if they're diabetic, is their blood glucose control good? Is their nutrition good? You know, we want you to be a healing machine, you know, after surgery. We usually do some type of prehab, at least a visit or two of physical therapy, show them home exercises to be doing. The stronger and the more mobile they can be going into surgery, the better they're going to do afterwards. And then sort of prearranging everything at home in terms of meal preparation and layout of the home to prevent tripping and falling, things like that. That work on the front end really helps on the back end. And then, you know, you just are following through at that point rather than having surgery and then realizing, oh gosh, I should have done this, or I wish I had had this ready. So preparation's really the step with that, optimizing everything in terms of their health and their function, get everybody as good as they can be going into surgery, and then they'll do better afterwards.
And follow your doctor's orders.
Yes. Very important.
Follow your doctor's orders.
Dr. Barber, how does the process go for people getting directly to you? Because it seems like if someone falls and breaks a hip, or I guess it would be elective when it's knees, but if they fell and they broke their hip, then they would go into the hospital, into the trauma area. They kind of, you know, it's kind of, or the way I always thought it was kind of the surgeon that was on call or whoever was able and be able to get there to them. How does that work?
Well, it probably works a little bit differently everywhere that you're at. So 95%+ of what I do is elective.
Okay.
Hip replacement, knee replacement, partial knee replacement, these sorts of things. For trauma care, it depends a little bit on the hospital that you're at. Our group is very privileged to have an orthopedic, well, as we talked about, subspecialty training we have an orthopedic trauma specialist. He fixes fractures all the time. Right. So that's more than likely who you would encounter in a fracture situation or on call. Now, some groups don't have that, and they may be whoever is on call fixes everything. And then sometimes what you said, people do it by availability. So if you come in with a hip fracture, well, I may not be on call, but if it's one of my partners, it's an upper extremity specialist, he may call me to come help with that sort of thing.
So what do our viewers and things, what would they look at to know, all right, so my knees are getting really bad. I need to come in and I need to schedule an appointment with you. What are the warning signs that they need to look for that, or their hip? I mean, what are the things that they would kind of see that would cause them to say, you know, to take, you know, thought, hey, I need to get someone to look at this?
Pain or decreased ability in just their routine activities. It's almost impossible to be too early.
Okay. I mean,
come in and be evaluated. We're certainly not going to just tell everybody that comes in our door they need surgery. But the earlier you evaluate these things, the better chance you have of treating them them non-surgically. So it may be something that's treatable with medication or physical therapy or a brace or, you know, whatever, rather than being a surgical issue. And even surgical issues, you know, for somebody who's got knee pain and knee arthritis, if they evaluate that early on, they may be a great candidate for a partial knee replacement. That's going to be an easier recovery and rehab. It's going to function much more like their normal knee versus if they put it off for 5, 6, 7 years, and then they get evaluated and it's like, well, you really need a total knee now. And that's a great operation, but the earlier you get that evaluated, the more options you're going to have.
Seems like a lot of people wait, and they wait until, you know, they can't walk anymore. They're just really hobbling around. Then they want to come into the door. And you're saying that really when you've noticed the pain that's there, that is in there, go ahead and let somebody be looking at that and seeing what kind of options are available earlier rather than later. I love that.
Sure. Well, I think that mentality is based on a lot of fear that if they come in that we're going to tell them that they have to have surgery, which is 100% not the case. We're just going to evaluate and we're going to talk about what their options are and what they ought to do. And then the perception that surgery's really going to be bad and the recovery's really going to be long and they're not going to be able to do things afterwards. And it's just not the case anymore. I mean, even with what I do, knee replacement and hip replacement, these are not minor surgeries by any means, but we have patients that have these procedures and have extremely active lifestyles. They play tennis, they ski, they walk, they do whatever they want to do.
Very good. Dr. Barber, how would our viewers reach out and find you if they are, you know, wanting to schedule time to come in and see you? How would they reach out and find you and get to you?
Sure. So my personal website is barbertotaljoint.com. That's a good way to find me and just find information. If people want to find out more about our practice and see some real patient experiences, you can find out more at facebook.com/MattBarberMD. You can find out a lot about our practice at alortho.com, alortho.com. And I've got partners that are spine specialists, foot and ankle specialists. We have the full gamut, including physical therapy, MRI services, all those sorts of things. So you're one-stop shop for anything orthopedic in that regard. Our phone number there is 410-3600. Okay. So we can be reached there. And really, you know, I'll tell you, and I don't hope it's okay doing this on a podcast format, but my email is barbertotaljoint@alortho.com.
Okay.
Reach out to me. I'm always happy to be a resource for anybody with knees and hips and really for anything orthopedic. And I certainly can't solve everything orthopedic, but I can usually get people pointed in the right direction.
I love that you have your own personal website to be able to talk about the educational aspect behind it. I think that's fantastic to have that.
It gives me a little more leeway just in terms of putting some blog posts on there and some information. And our practice website has a ton of great information about all the surgeons at AOC. Right. But mine just gives me an opportunity to talk about some other things as well.
And if anybody wonders where that building is, if you're going down Interstate 65 and you're looking over toward the right after you pass, this is going south, you passed the real large church right there at the corner. You see this beautiful building over to the side, and that's y'all's building that you're in.
Right at I-65 and Dolphin Street. We actually have a smaller office down in front of Mobile Infirmary, and our building in Saraland is going up right now. We anticipate being in there in the spring and are looking forward to that as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming in today. Thank you for being a part of our podcast and joining us today. Again, this is Jason Jones and John Wagner, and we're with Community Insurance Partners. If you'd like us, you can reach us at 251-635-0989, or you can reach us on our website at communityinspartners.com. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.